Greetings. Prabhupada family, Prabhupada, 1 second. Please let people know I'm here. Everybody?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? My brother.
All right. Glad you're all here. I love you all. All right. All right. Okay. Now, I love you all.
I love you.
Trying to get these tracking numbers now because I don't want to forget again. Somebody, please remember, remind me later on, please. Okay. Who's got the first spiritual experience they'd like to share with us?
I got one.
Okay, good, good, good. Delonte, I'm sorry, Delonte, are you there?
Yeah, I'm recording it again.
I know. I love you, man. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sun Fox. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had a dream about, you know, you said that two lights was created, and I had a dream about some real pretty green, and then it said that the second light was inferior to the first light.
Yes.
And I had that experience to dream about that.
Yes.
Yeah, so I saw both greens, both
right.
lights. And,
yeah.
And the first light I saw was the real pretty green, and the other one was not so pretty.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you all about. Everybody heard about the greater and the lesser light before?
Yes.
Okay. Would you all like to know what it is, or does somebody
yeah.
know? Okay. Well, the lesser light is the sun in the sky that you see, right? In the daytime. And the greater light is the light that lights the heart of every man or woman that comes in the world, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. That's the greater light. Okay? That's not necessarily what Gary
okay.
saw, but I'm just telling you what the greater and lesser light is. I'm not sure about the two green lights. I've seen two bright white ones, one revolving around the other before, smaller than the big one, and that was a Merkaba, movable throne. In fact, it was inky. You know, so what I'm trying to say, Gary, is it's a beautiful thing, but when you have these kind of spiritual experiences, it's almost, what it is a personal message from your oversoul to you, or from the Creator to you. A unique experience that was only for you. You hear me?
Okay.
That's a beautiful thing. That means the Creator is paying attention to you, to say the least. Okay?
Okay.
I would suggest that it may be an indicator that your greater light inside of you is becoming, you're turning yourself inside out to the self-realization that the greater, the kingdom, that which is within you is greater than everything outside of you. You follow?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's only a suggestion because I wasn't there. All right. Love that. Thank you very much. Bless your soul.
Okay.
Now, next one. Okay. What is that first question? I have a reading for you all tonight.
I have a question.
I'll do my best.
Wait a minute, let me find my pen.
Yeah, hold on 1 second, too.
My
get
question.
Well, take your time. Let me get something. All right, what is that question?
I was thinking about the raising of the 144,000 purifiable souls.
That's possible.
And it occurred to me to ask, are all of the 144,000 purifiable souls, will they all be coming from people of this day and time, or will they be from people, or will they be people from other times as well?
That's a loaded question, because the answer is, because if we look at you in particular, are you a person from ancient days or the future or from now?
I am from now.
And you also...
I'm here now.
Yes, but now... is the only time there is, but it creates the illusion of a timeline you call the past and the present and the future.
And the present. Okay.
You see, now, from the perspective of the Most High, if you think about time as a trough that has like a rain trough and it's filled with water, but it has a cap on one end, and then there's an opening on the other, so it's filled with water, and time slowly leaks out the other side. And that's how you have an end to your time. Now, to the Elohim, both sides are capped. So time is frozen. So past, present, and future are all the same to them. But the reason I specify that is because from where you are now in NASA, solid, actual, and time-bound, in the realm of opposites, where you have day and night, you know, male and female, you know, good and evil, all this, well, then you have today and yesterday. It wasn't always like that, because when the crafts came and they blew away the cloud cover that was caused by a meteor strike that destroyed the dinosaurs 75 million years ago and blocked out the sun, well, when they came over, they hovered and they blew a strong wind and it parted the clouds, allowing again the sunlight to penetrate the veil to the surface. And that's what they say in Bereshit or Genesis, which means the beginning. Actually, it means to remake, not to create. And that was the beginning of what they called the first day. All right? Or let there be light.
Okay.
But I'm saying that you, more clearly, as part of the fountainhead of creation, as you're Pafaut, a part of Faut, or dropped in the infinite sea of divine consciousness, divine love, you have no time. You have no beginning or end. You have timelines that begin in this form or another in certain forms. You follow what I'm saying? You've been many things before. You've been a roadman, an insect, a bird, a star. You've been a man. You've been a king. You've been rich, poor. You've been an Ethereum. You've been, might have been a spider. I don't know, a bird. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Yeah, and you've been a lot of places. I'm saying that there are billions of stars in the Milky Way, and every one of those stars is a sun that has planets revolving around them, and the vast majority of them have planets in what we call the Goldilocks zone, which is not too close to the sun to burn or too far away to freeze, and is capable of sustaining life as you know it. There's life, however, on the other planets, like Venus, that scientists tell you is too hot, but they're lying. Val Thor, and there's civilizations on Mars and Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, but not in this dimension or as life as you recognize it. But what I'm saying is that out of all these trillions and countless worlds that they have, and then you have to think about interdimensional universes and multiverses, string theory, my question to you is, as in this journey of yours, Zakiya,
Rahubat,
how many of these worlds do you think you will visit?
I don't know. Maybe all of them.
Yeah. But it's more worlds than there are kernels of sand on every beach and ocean and desert on Earth, of course. You follow?
Okay.
And this is not the beginning of your journey. This is just part of it.
Okay.
You follow? Because
I
it's a steady evolution towards all. See, you have beings right now that we call illus that are extremely high and beyond the flights of our very imagination of what you describe as God. Right? Then you have, for example, the meanest earthworm. And they, in time, will evolve into a being as intelligent and sophisticated as you. An earthworm, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. The question is what will you be by the time they get there? And even more interesting is, what will the Elus be by then? I would suggest that points to Fau is infinite, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how could you say that Fau is infinite? How could you conceive of that? Well, you could say, well, if a person put a stick in their hand horizontally in both hands, and like they chopped the straw off a broom and they put the stick in their hands, if they could imagine that one of the ends of the stick just went on forever, it never ended, and the other end also never ended, it just went on and on and on forever. As a mortal, pretty soon you would get tired and your imagination would break down, dissolving the image because you couldn't contain it. Simpler. Remember I told you all about they discovered the God particle and a cyclotron, and they wrote papers on it saying that it's the smallest particle in existence. Right? Well, there'll be some young student, male or female, that's a quantum physicist, that really believes that because of the way that the God particle acts, that there are smaller particles, subatomic particles, that exist that are there but have yet to be proven. And, of course, science of the day, just like when they gave you the flat world theory, what happens to be true now, but it went round in a circle, they'll say, no, that's not possible. But he or she, scientists that they are, will do research and experimentation and read papers. And when they graduate, they may get a grant and go on for 15 or 20 years in search of what they believe is there. And they'll become so involved in the project as a kid that one day they'll stop believing. They'll be thoroughly convinced, and they'll know it's there. Right? Now,
yeah.
Being Fau, part of Fau means all can what? I can. Exactly. So the second that she knows the particle exists that's smaller than the smallest particle, what happens? Somebody. That's the force that creates it. Yes. So then when she knows it, it does exist. That's what's called kun fayakun. Say to a thing, be, and it is.
Okay.
We are creators. So you're unlimited in time, place, or space, because anything that you imagine is real somewhere, someplace, sometime, whether the thought is positive or negative. It goes so far, again, when you're driving and you might come to a T, a dead end, not a dead end, but you can either make either a left or a right turn, you can't continue straight, and you're trying to get somewhere, and you can't remember, you're confused about whether to make a left or a right. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you keep going over this in your mind, you can't just sit there, so you have to make a decision one way or the other. So you say, okay, I'm going to turn right. Right? I got a feeling it's right. What you don't know is that when you make the right turn, that there's an aspect of Zakiya that also made the left turn. Okay.
Done that July 13th.
Yes, okay. Well, you may think you only made one turn, but what happened is because you considered or imagined left or right, you also made the left turn, and for that to give, her whole eternal future is going to roll out completely different than the one that made the right turn. You created another Zakiya. Even if it's something as simple as deciding whether you want a tuna fish or peanut butter sandwich, either one you choose, there's an aspect of you that chose the other. And for her, her reality will play out completely different. Because if she eats the peanut butter and jelly, it might cut her appetite and change what she has for dinner, or make another decision about, because it was sweet, what she'll cook. And if she eats the tuna fish, it might be good, or she might eat two sandwiches and be too full for it. You know what I mean? On and on.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to confuse people. I just want to stretch your mind today a little bit about the reality of you all as gods, infinite gods.
Uh-huh.
The only limitations that you have are the ones you place on yourself. Okay?
Cool.
Yes. That's why, biblically speaking, if you had enough faith to fill a mustard seed, that's a tiny thing. You could make a mountain or a tree get up and walk, or a star move across the sky, or raise the dead, which there's no such thing, but you could create worlds. But you don't know that. That's why I was sent here, to reveal to you the greater mystery and to reintroduce you to your own self, okay? Your higher self. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Next. Next. Surely somebody's got to have a question.
I have one.
I'll do my best.
Is there a difference between dimensions and universes?
No. Because we're talking about two different things, apples and oranges. There's no comparison because you have multiverses that exist in different dimensions.
All right.
And also the answer is yes, in that a dimension is not a universe. But a universe vibrates on a certain frequency, like galaxies. Ilyun is in another dimension other than the Milky Way. Are you following me? So that you couldn't take a rocket and fly in a straight line trajectory and reach there, you know, at some time. Because even if you arrive to the spot that is supposed to be at Bashar, it wouldn't be visible or detectable to your senses. Because it's vibrating on a higher frequency, and it would be like the silent whistle that the hunter blows to you, but the dog could hear it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes. Now, it was interesting, very good question. But what's very interesting about that is that you yourself are a multidimensional being. Because the physical aspect of you is in one dimension, but the force field aspect of you is in another, while the spiritual you is yet in another, on a spiritual plane. Then we have the mental plane, etheric, soul plane, the plane of consciousness. You follow me?
Yes.
But there's a whole you on each one of those planes. But since there's no spatial proximity, they're all in the same place at the same time. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So the spiritual Delonte and the physical Delonte are in the same place at the same time, vibrating on what?
Different frequencies.
Exactly. Precisely. And when you raise or lower the frequency, you shift dimensions.
Would that be the same if you were to change, if you had several personalities, like Civil or whoever, and you were to, each one of them are to take, to come forth in the physical realm, is it the same thing happening dimensionally?
Yes, yes. Because of thought, they all vibrate on different frequencies. That's why they can't exist simultaneously in the same place.
Right.
In order for one to come forward, the other has to move back.
Right. I follow you.
So if Malachi has 19 different personalities, only one at a time can come forward. That's why your mind is designed to be able to only think of how many things at once.
One thing at one time.
That's right.
Can you through meditation bring forth these, I think of it as a conscious state of
mind. Exactly, but then you would be the one in the stars and not the one in the bed.
Right, and that's happened.
What would happen? In other words, wherever your consciousness is, that is you. And that's where you are, wherever you direct it. So if you direct it to the stars, then what you're calling John is in the stars. But while you're in the stars, you are definitely not in your bed, are you?
Right.
Yeah.
So if I want to change something about me, and I want to consciously, you know, make this change. How am I saying this? I want to consciously make the change, similar to like if I'm bringing forth just another aspect of me, more determined and dedicated to making this come about. In other words, if I'm finding that there's me, but there's weaknesses and flaws in my attempt to follow through, the discipline's not there. So I want to meditate on that and try to bring that aspect of my consciousness forward so that I can stick to a task.
Right.
Is that how it's happening? I mean, because I feel that sometimes, okay, things are slipping away, so I gotta refocus, and I gotta go inside to do this. So I meditate on it. Say,
yeah.
Right now, I'm gonna make this. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna eat that. I'm not gonna. If it was diet, I'm not gonna eat this. I'm not gonna eat that. I'm gonna focus on these things. Or if it's exercise, I'm gonna make sure I do X, Y, and Z today, and try to make that become a habit. Then I'm changing my consciousness, right?
Exactly. In other words, and how do you know, you can even quantify how much you're evolving. By looking back over the last 2 years and see, you can the changes are measurable. Are you walking and exercising more? Are you more conscious of what you eat? Are you more conscious of what you think about and consume mentally? Are you more conscious about how you treat your fellow, your brother and sister? Are you learning to love yourself? A few years ago, could you move stars?
No.
Or go through walls and ceilings?
Those things,
or make helicopters with your hand.
Right.
Okay, so what I would suggest to you is that you're definitely making the dimensional shift. You are going, transforming into God. Yes.
Right.
And the closer to that you get, the more disciplined you become, because you become spiritual as opposed you turn yourself inside out. So you see, the spirit is willing because it's asabad, independent. It doesn't have needs. But the flesh is what?
Weak.
Right. So you see, all devils are very weak because they're carnal. But they convince themselves they're strong. Because they do what they want, but they don't. They do what their body wants. They don't know how to go into deep introspection and ask themselves, I know what I want. I want this and I want that. Well, the question is, from whence arose the I want this as opposed to that? For example, in diet, you know, when you go to a restaurant, they look, and I know what I want. You, this person wants that, that. Everybody knows what they want, right?
Right.
But suppose they were born in Siam. What would they want to eat then?
Right, it'd be different.
Right. Right. So you see, from whence arose the I want. But the devil is thinking that, I know what I want, that's a fixity, that's a reality. But what they want is whatever was put into their mind, whatever they were programmed to believe. Have your men and women say, I know what I want, I know what I got to have, I know what I need. You're a damn lie. You don't.
Rahubat.
That's pro. Rahubat. That's programming.
Rahubat.
Glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear your voice. Very happy. Bless your soul.
Rahubat, sir. This is Duck here.
Rahubat, everyone.
All right. We're glad to hear you, Katie. We missed you. John, I love the direction you're taking, so please, explore it.
From the moment of your consciousness, like I said, you know, there's the recording of this time continuous, the surat you call, right, the surat. So from moment to moment.
You were always conscious, it was just on different levels.
All right, so
see, the earthworm is conscious, but it's not consciousness as you know it. It's conscious to stimulation or to electric touch. It'll recoil. You know, I mean, you follow me?
Yeah.
But the kind of conscious you're talking about is like if you take a chimpanzee and you have it outside living, and then you put a mirror by a tree, and the chimpanzee runs to the mirror, and every time it raises its hand or makes a motion, the mirror emulates that action. And the chimpanzee becomes angered, frustrated, and feeling mocked. So it gets combated, runs after the mirror to try to attack the other chimpanzee. When it bounces off, it's confused, and runs behind the mirror to see if it's hiding back there. This will go on for a long time. But the morning you walk out and see the chimpanzee sitting down in front of the mirror, picking fleas and grooming itself from the reflection, then you say, oh, she's conscious. Now the monkey realizes that it's her in the mirror. Now, when you reach the kind of consciousness you're talking about, it's when you realize that being created in the image and likeness of God, that, oh, I am God. I am all, right? And therefore, you be God instead of a devil that
your
thinks
input
that
is invalid.
Different levels.
Like a devil. Let me explain. Like a devil, they think of themselves as sovereign or autonomous, independent. So that's where why they're combated, because they don't know that all is all. And you do unto your brother and your sister as you would unto yourself, because you are your brother and your sister. And what you call existence is only a reflecting mirror. And energy, it can only return to the source it was projected from. So whatever you put out, whether it's good or evil, it's going to come directly back to the source of the projection, which is you. Maybe not the same day or the same way, but what goes around, it's called karma. It will come back.
And maybe subconsciousness, I'm trying to explain. It's like when I'm meditating and I have the out-of-body experience, that's a level of consciousness there, isn't it?
Yes. When you go into it, and if you're successful at the meditation, it depends on what your focus is. Because a person can go into a transcendental state about things that happened to them in the past and actually drop in vibration and get angry about being mistreated, you know.
Right. But when I want to have that out-of-body experience, I want to remain, what I'm saying, I'm using the word conscious, I remain that way so that I don't fall into that dreamy sleep state.
Right.
So I'm there, being conscious, telling myself this, and then when I leave the body, then I'm at that point where this awareness is fulfilling me and this awesomeness is fulfilling me and all of these other things are exciting me, my consciousness at that time, I'm saying. Am I using the wrong word?
No. That is right.
One state of consciousness, then when I come back from that experience.
That's the laws of attraction.
Okay. So this experience we're having now, I'm in a different state of consciousness now.
Exactly. It's a lower state. But you see, man is a creature of habit. And we're used to our surroundings. And we've worn this fungus that's clinging to the light that you call a bashar or body, a lower aspect, so long that many of us are convinced that what we see in the mirror is us. Not realizing that we have an inner vision, inner hearing, and inner seeing, even while we utilize it. I'm saying
right.
A person confused about what to eat in the kitchen, go back and forth until he maybe sometimes speak, and the child might say, Mom or Daddy, who are you talking? I'm in here talking to myself. And not even realizing that they're indicating that there's a duality.
Yeah.
Or that when they sleep and it's dark and their eyes are closed, they can't see anything. But they see things in their dream, and they still wake up and go to the mirror and imagine that what they are is what they can see. They'll get upset if you. I don't believe in nothing I can't see here. If I can't see it, I don't believe in the. Oh, here she come with that spiritual. You know, you follow me?
Yes.
But what's so funny about it is they do that in the process, in the middle of using these higher aspects of themselves. They're using the third eye and the inner ear. And the inner heart. Because when they're on the phone and they're talking to somebody 1,000 miles away, that says something very disagreeable to them, it might break their heart. Are you with me? But it's not the kalb or the physical pump that pumps the blood. It's their spiritual heart. And if it hurts their feelings, it's not the same as somebody touching your arm and you could feel it. It's an emotional conscious feeling. Right?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is while they're using it, they're so programmed in sleep that they deny its existence or deny the existence of God, and that allows them to sink to a vibration and become trapped in the mud of their own flesh and habitually become what we call mind-body consciousness. Mind-body consciousness. They really believe that they're this physical body, and that opens up the door to mortality, hell, sickness, hunger, lust, greed, envy, hatred, and war. Because they imagine the one in the mirror, monkey, as different from the one next to them, because this is me and that's you. Got it? They don't understand about the oneness, that we're all one. In other words, all we are is Fa'u expressing itself in many different ways. In the same way that you have a dream, right? And it's so vivid, you get excited and you wake up and you tell your wife or somebody the next morning, I saw us last night in a dream fishing and barbecuing, this and that. It was vivid, right? My question to you would be, who was it that was watching you and her in the dream? It's you. Because you said, I saw us last night. Make that I single.
Right.
Now, that means that that's the same I that sees me and my mother or my significant other in the same in a dream too. It's only one of them projecting many images in its imagination. The first word in image is, in imagination is image. But when people become so accustomed to the image, they believe they are it. It's tantamount to a baby that's first placed inside the mother and father 3 months in advance before they even come together in a conjugal sense sexually. So that the real term is not 9 months, but 12. Scientists know this. That's why they calibrate your birthday to be every 12 months instead of every 9 months. Because they're aware of the other 3 months. But when you're first born and you come out the womb, are you a physical or a spiritual being at that point?
When you come out the womb, you're a physical being.
No.
You're spiritual.
Exactly.
And once you're slapped on the butt, then you're physical.
Exactly. And you passed a test, too, so you're evolving, and I'll explain it to you in a minute. Right. No, John, you're still spiritual because what you are is a light being, and as the mother that's pregnant walks through the earth plane, she has a special organ in a natal cavity that, as far as the previous men and women and people that passed away and are buried, they break down and the particles work up through the soil and just drift around and float in the meticulous of the atmosphere, right? And as the pregnant mother inhales, she sifts these particles out, and by the DNA and RNA code, it calls for very specific things to create the form of the baby that was already pre-coded, and everything else she rejects. That's why many pregnant women suffer from a lot of nasal discharge, a mucus, right? Now, all these particles goes through her bloodstream and through the umbilical cord to the baby, which is at this point a light being. That's why when she's first pregnant and she knows because she's missing and the doctor says, well, you 3 weeks pregnant, there's no you can't see the baby or detect a heartbeat because it's still spiritual, right?
Right.
So it's not like the invisible man that put on clothes yet. But as these particles come through our bloodstream to the baby, the magnetic current attracts the particles, and they stick to the light to form outside skin, kind of like the Invisible Man putting on clothes so we can see him, right? And then that prepares the child to become part of what you call NASA, solid, actual, and time-bound, or the physical plane. But when the baby is born, it's still the same spiritual being that came here 12 months ago, because it's not using this atmosphere to breathe. It wasn't using it inside the mother. It had gills, tadpole, right? So it was breathing underwater. My amniotic fluid or my water broke. And it's not using the outside sun, but the internal sun. That's the greater light that I was describing to the sister, the one that shines in the dark, the light that lights the heart of every man or woman that comes into the world, right?
Right.
But like the sister Farasa said, when the doctor spanks the baby, the pain makes it cry. And in order to cry, it has to inhale first. Mute your phone, please. The air is blowing. The person that's got your phone open, mute your phone. Star 6, mute it. Thank you. Now, when the baby inhales the oxygen, it's a gas that's flammable. And it also has prana in it, according to the Greeks, a sekhem, according to the Egyptians, which is the divine essence of life, or the green light. Or this oxygen that's in the breath, it goes pumped by the heart around the arterial system, a circulatory system of the child, until it hits the solar plexus where the internal sun is. That makes you capable of maintaining a constant body temperature, 98.6, or have a fever, or et cetera, right? Or burn calories. That's a fire inside of you. And when that oxygen hits fire, oxygen is what? Flammable. So it combusts just like an engine in a car. You have a magneto that makes a spark that combust, and it makes the pushes the pistons down. They come. You follow what I mean? So that action binds the spirit to the clinging fungus that you call skin. It binds the spirit to the mud to create the living soul. And at that point, the baby begins what you call its zero-point reference here on the physical plane, or becomes part of the world.
Right.
Yeah. But it's still a duality. It's not 100% physical. It's just that through carrots and sticks, you know, the baby learns that it has different needs now. When it drops down to the carnal plane, it gets hungry. It can be cold. And it learns to cry to get attention. And one of the parents will come and feed it or change the diaper or make it warm or give it love in a physical sense. And it's kind of like the first time you started trying to learn how to drive a car. You got in it and you would overreact, squeeze the steering wheel too tight with sweaty palms, hit the brakes so hard, people rock back and forth, step on the gas too hard, and you got to a stop sign, sweating, looking left and right. But after you got accustomed to the car body, you see sisters, you know, driving, talking on the cell phone, chewing gum, and putting on makeup with the radio on, right? And they just end up at work and don't even realize that they went through the traffic lights. They did all the things right without even really focusing on it. It was reflex.
All of them.
So the baby being born, when you give it milk or an apple over here, it reaches, but not knowing how to operate this physical thing, it the hand goes the wrong way, and the baby cries out of frustration. It tries to walk, and its feet, it gets tangled up. But after a while, after practice, it becomes like the sister driving the car with the physical body, like the car body. It learns how to drive it so it can write cursive beautifully, like calligraphy. It's got that much dexterity to be a brain surgeon or a portrait artist or an athlete. Are you following me? Now, the more control it has over its body, it begins to get more and more what you call comfortable in its own skin. And after a while, it gets so seduced by it, it starts really believing that it is the body. When in actuality, we change bodies like people on earth change wardrobe for winter, spring, summer, or fall. You follow me? But as long as they believe they're physical, then they can suffer hell. They're vulnerable to hunger, cold, death, pain, aging. You follow me? And then they run into this problem, John, of trying to discipline the flesh. Almost like the baby trying to grab the apple and going the wrong way. They have to learn how to control the physical form, because in the spirit, they had no needs. They were asamad. They were never physically hungry. They were never cold. You know, when you're out in the stars or you all walk through the wall, you don't think you're not hungry, you're not cold. Have you noticed that you don't, well, you don't have any age, you don't have a gender, you don't feel, you following me? So all these things, these illusions came with the body. So I'm trying to show you the making of a devil. It's simply a spiritual being, which is a slow vibration of consciousness that imagines itself physical, and that opens up the doorway to hell.
Yes.
You follow me? Because they take it far too seriously. Anything happens to the body, they're terribly disturbed, distraught, and they're in hell emotionally, not just physically, because there's no physical body. You follow what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And they don't realize, I'm not this body. I'm not this situation. I'm only watching this happen from above. Not in a linear sense, like most people commonly misinterpret planes as layers of strata piled one above the next, like going up the stairs from the first, second, and third plane. Because if a teacher drew the seven planes on a chalkboard, it would really just be one line, and you'd have to imagine it vibrating at different frequencies for the planes. Because the spiritual plane is the spiritual John, which is evidenced by your third eye, or you going through the ceiling to the stars, or walking through a wall like Farasa, or up the hall while your body's in the bathroom like Zakiya. Right? That spiritual aspect of you does not exist on the physical plane. It exists on the spiritual plane. But it's all in the same place at the same time, vibrating on different frequencies, reflecting back on the question that Delante asked earlier about, is there a difference between universes and consciousness, right? Now, the point I'm driving at is that just like the baby that learns to be dexterous and walk and eventually can drive the car, you learn how to operate the body Then you have to go to the next phase and learn how to control it. I mean, not just directionally or with dexterity or how to walk, but learn how to control the physical, say, desires. You follow me?
Yes.
So that you have to repeat things, mantras to yourself, like people always say, I just want what I want. No, that's wrong. Reprogram yourself and say, what I want is what I need, and what I need is what I want, until that becomes your reality. Because if you're undisciplined, you're going to run into a lot of hell on the physical plane. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, the great sages and the masters, say like Yahshua, HaMashiach, the one you call Jesus, he went in, or Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went into the cave at Mount Hira, and they did that to get away from society and into stillness and quietness so that they could do what you said, meditate or make the journey within, reconnect with the higher self, the spirit. And in their solitude, they would have to pass certain tests to discipline the flesh so they could once again achieve mind over matter. I'm only watching this happen from what? Above. So that when the body demands food because it's hungry, their conscious mind or higher self denies the body its request. The body screams and throws a tantrum like a baby and asks your mind, the hell wrong with you, nigga? Did you cut your throat? No. I'm controlling you. Right?
Lock,
and that discipline, down. And that discipline that you're learning is the root to the word disciple. Is everybody hearing me?
Yes.
Yes. So to become a disciple of a master, to evolve into a master, you have to first achieve discipline. Because as long as you're carnal and think from a carnal perspective as a mortal, then you would be by definition a shea thing or a clay thing, which is derivative of the word Satan or a devil. Right?
Wow.
Because you're controlled by your body like dogs turning over trash cans in the night, or cats screwing in the alley and scratching and hollering, you know. You're addicted, you know, I got to use the bathroom, I'm cold, I'm hungry, you know what I mean? That's it. And you step on a baby's eye or do anything, you know what I mean? You don't care, on your own people's throat, you don't care what you do to achieve what you want, because you're controlled by your body has become your God. And people then sleep thinking they're woke, make very foolish decisions. Like they'll turn on their own self or their ancestors, and by that I mean a person that becomes a heroin addict or crackhead. They desire that. That's what they want. I need a cigarette right now, girl. I got to have a cigarette. You know, I need to go to church. I want something to eat. You know, see 600 pounds of shoes running over and a thigh's about to make sparks. But if she tells herself she needs it, you know, I mean, you know, if she tells herself she needs it, then she got to have that cigarette, or he got to have that shot of heroin or whatever. But that's putting them in hell. But they think every time they get the rock that they're in heaven. Are you with me?
Sure.
Right. So the thing is that desires to lead to all suffering. That's what the Buddhists teach you. Right? A good mantra to remember is fire and desire rhymes. So yes, John, to your first question, discipline is extremely important, and the way you achieve it is not by wrestling with the flesh. That's a very difficult thing to do.
Yes.
Because it is carnal. And it doesn't care about anything but its desires. Meaning, like Panna Babianun said, you could be addicted to smoking, go and buy cigarettes, and then read the side panel that says the Surgeon General has determined that it's hazardous to your health and may even cause cancer or death. And after you premeditate that fact, open up the pack and light it up and start puffing and dragging anyway. And then when you get cancer, you regret, right?
Right.
But if you turn yourself inside out to the reality of who and what you truly are, a spiritual being, then you're no longer ruled by carnal desire. And so there is no internal war. You don't have to wrestle against the flesh, because now the monkey is picking fleas, knowing that it's God and not a monkey. Got it? Somebody heard me.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I heard you.
Right. And thus he spake. I guess you call it parables. But as long as you get it, you got it. Got it gone. Okay? But that was a very important question, and it deserved a lot of time to make sure that it was clear, abundantly clear to everybody, okay? That's important, and we're all challenged with that same challenge. That's the difference between a man and a god, or a devil and a god, because they're both the same thing. Acting on different attributes. Never perfect. But say a man or a woman may have a little devil in them. But when you're a devil, it's when you're predominantly a devil and only have a little man or woman in you. You follow me? One is a man or a woman, and one is a devil. That's why the Creator, in his fairness, doesn't demand of you perfection, but only that your good deeds outweigh your bad. That's the ma'at, the balance that's set up to determine which preponderates or rules in you, because there is a mizan, a balance set up to determine that, and they will weigh it, even if it's the weight of an atom, and sufficient of thee to take account. Meaning that if the good outweighs the evil on the scales of Ma'at, you go to heaven. But if the evil, even by the weight of an atom, outweighs the good, then man or woman is sufficient as a judge against themselves on that day. Is everybody clear?
Yes.
Sure.
Because when you have a person that thinks they're 100% physical, then they think evil continuously. But they don't think it's evil. They just think, that's the way I think. Don't ever think that a snake crawls around all day long, I'm a snake. It's too busy being a snake to even think about what it is. It's too busy being what it is. Got it?
Yes.
Right. It's not an easy thing that you all are facing. It's not an easy challenge, this uphill climb. That's why many are called, but what?
You were chosen.
You believe it, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
And Zakiya, you're doing excellent.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had a question.
That's why you've earned your cosmic name. With the package that's on the way now. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you very much.
You earned.
Mm-hmm. It's something that's been kind of like bothering me. It's been on my mind, something heavy. A dimension. What is a dimension and where is it or how it works? You know, the whole nine. Could you break that down for me?
Yeah. The simplest way is to use things you're familiar with, like your physical body or a simple substance like water. When you slow the vibrations down, say, put it in a freezer, and the molecules vibrate slow like molasses in the wintertime, they vibrate so slow because of the sluggishness caused by cold that they create the illusion of solidity. You call it an ice cube, but it's as solid as a rock or wood or anything else, right?
Right.
That's why devils are cold-blooded. They're physical. And it's affected by gravity. If you let it go, it'll drop and fall on the floor. But if you raise the frequency up, it'll become lucid, like water, right?
Right.
But still part of this plane and affected by gravity, because if you pour it out on the floor, it still falls, right?
Right.
But it's in the transitory state. But now let's say we pour the water in a pot and put it on a high fire on the stove. And as it heats, it starts vibrating faster and faster the hotter it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to see by the way the water is turning, that is vibrating. Then that will convert it from a liquid into spirit that you call steam, right?
Right.
Like a ghost, a ghostational. And it no longer, as spirit, is affected by gravity or can be broken with a hammer like ice or stabbed with a knife. And it doesn't fall to the floor. What does the steam do? It rises, ascends up. And if you leave the fire on long enough and it gets hot enough and starts vibrating fast enough, the steam is converted into ether, an ethereal. It spirals up so that if I ask you what's in the pot, you say nothing. No water, steam, or ice, nothing. But logically we know you can't get nothing from something, so it's only energy in transit. So the way that angels ascend and descend up and down Jacob's ladder, which is your own spinal column, is by raising and lowering their vibrations. So when crafts come from other dimensions, appear to be walking on that. Don't make noise. Okay. So when interdimensional beings or craft come to this reality, they appear at first like clouds, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
People say that the craft seemed to come out of a cloud. No, the craft was a cloud or vapor or steam, a mist. And as it lowered its vibrations, it became more and more tangible or part of the physical plane. It dropped from ether to steam to water to ice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when it was ready to ascend again, because they know how to do that, they raised their vibrations like John or Farasa or Zakiya, and they just leave their body, the physical body, and go up through the ceiling back to the stars. You hear me better now, John?
I hear you, brother.
Right. So what you want to know is what they know, which is how to control that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. why I was sent. That's why I was sent. Because now I'll give you a strong indicator. Whenever you all are out your body in an alternate reality or another plane, and you feel yourself being drawn back to your body and you want to stay, grab an object like a doorknob or a table or a chair in that reality
mm-hmm.
and hold on to it, and you can stay longer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know how you have a good dream, and you hate to wake up
yeah,
and find you back here in this goddamn place again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. When you want to stay, remember what I told you. Grab an object there. Just believe me. Do it. And you'll stay as long as you hold on to it.
Wow.
That's how you start getting control, John, over how long you stay.
Yeah. Aha.
You see? Because the body has, this plane has a magnetic attraction to it. Because we've been conditioned through programming to think that the body is the only vehicle for pleasure. You follow me? We don't want to stay where we miss our favorite foods. We want sex. We want to hear music. We want to feel the sun on our face. The cravings of the body, the desire, is what pulls you back. You follow me? Because we don't realize it's an illusion. The I is only projecting the us, right? Again, you in bed by yourself and you dream you're having sex and achieve a nocturnal emission or an orgasm. Wake up and you're embarrassed because you're in bed by yourself. Then you go out and have sex with what you call a real man or woman and don't achieve orgasm, right? The question is again, which one is real? So where is sex? In the body or the mind?
Mind.
The mind.
Everything is. But if you think and been programmed to believe that the physical body is the only vehicle to achieve pleasure with, you'll be constantly drawn back or attracted to it. So John 8:32, know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set you free.
It'll make you free. And that's why I was sent. But they don't believe it's me, even if I move the universe for you tonight, and I will at 10:30. Because there are so many charlatans saying they're the real Messiah, they're Jesus, 144,000, the children of Ra, I'm the one, all of that, Jim Jones and Eddie Long, to where the people are confused and they're fractured. So some follow this one, some follow that, some are Christian, some are Muslim, you know, they're in all kind of diverse and various belief systems, they scattered. So when people think I'm being egotistical, why is everything he's talking about always trying to prove who he is? That's his ego. He wants to be Big Willie. Wrong. Not at all.
Not at all.
I wouldn't be chosen for this job unless I was humble. What I'm doing is my best to prove to people that I am the one sent from the Creator so that they can no longer be deceived or misled by those imposters pretending to be.
Yes.
And the only way I can separate myself from the fakes is by doing what they always did in the past, as using a calling card that the Creator gave them, which is the ability to perform miracles that mortals just can't. right?
Right.
So Jesus was not showing off when he was walking on the water or raising the dead. Otherwise, people would have never followed him, even the few that did. But when they saw the miracles, they knew it was him. And they could drop their guard and have confidence in the fact that they're following the one for that day and time. Because it was never about Jesus or Moses or Muhammad or any angel or man. It was always about the Creator and always is.
Yes.
None of them ever told you to worship them.
Not one. Well.
Do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Right? All I am is like a telephone or the Word of God made flesh in order to dwell among men and women so that you can, for example, ask me the questions you're asking me tonight. But before I can get people to come to class and ask me questions, I have to first prove it's me. Or otherwise, why should they leave the ones they believe in?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yes.
So, in their immaturity, they think I'm being egotistical. You got it?
Yes.
When I'm trying to make a very vivid distinction between me and the imposters. I have to let them know that it is my time. Like Yanun, let them know 1,000 times in 1,000 ways in all the Potter racks, all the holy tablets and jewels and all his writings and CDs and kutbahs and DVDs, the Return of Christ and the Egyptian Church of Karas and the billboards with the Black Messiah. But all these things, the devils are trying to hide from people. In fact, they call me the hidden one.
Yeah, sure do.
So, and they cut and isolate their people off in very sophisticated ways so that they can't get to me because they know if they meet me in at the OK Corral on the battlefield of the soul, in 3 minutes, they'll be shown up to be smoke and mirrors and snake oil that they really are. Because they can't take a fly from a frog, and X-Lax can't move them. In short, they full of shit. Yeah, and leading people to hell. Right out in the open and getting rich for it with money that don't even have the word money on it. Unless you plan a game like Monopoly. This stuff is crazy. All right. Anybody monitoring the time? 10:30? I need to move things.
No, it's only 10:21.
Okay. Maybe we got time to give you all tracking numbers for your packages, right?
Right.
Okay. Just a minute. All right. Let's see here. Some people already. Okay, Irving, Texas. That's for Rasa. You have something to write with?
Yeah.
9549010729092 9214 27 7880 again 9549010729 2907-2908-80. Okay?
How we hot?
Okay, now, Seabrook, Texas. I don't know. Seabrook, Texas. Who's in Seabrook, Texas? Okay, Atlanta, Georgia. I know that's Talib.
That's Tobias.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. You got something to write with?
Yeah, I'm going to put it in my phone.
Okay, 9549-0107. 2902-9214. 2779-03. Was that too fast? Okay, one more time. 9549-0107. 2902-9214-2779-03. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Something to write with?
Yep.
9549-01. Okay.
Okay.
9549-0107-2902-9214-2779-10. Again. 9549-0107-2902-9214-2779-10. Love you. Chicago, Illinois. Chicago, Illinois. I think that'll be Aaron. Okay. Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
All right. You have something to write with?
Yes.
9549-0107-2902-9214-2779-34. Again, 9549-0107-2902-9214-2779-34. And John, and a lot of you all on the way, and others of you all, they've already been sent, and I gave you tracking numbers already. All right? I'm a little confused with John because I wanted he and Gary and I to start on HCG together, and he kind of thought it might be best to wait a minute for a second.
My mind right.
I understand. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're doing tonight, right? Working on.
Doing.
Yes.
We're doing.
Yeah. And you're doing a good job. Just going through the ceiling like you're doing. Tell everybody what you do for your grandchildren again. I like that. Please.
What I do is I take a cork and I put regular sewing needles that you find in any sewing kit. I stick the needle up in the cork because it makes it stand upright. And then having done that, I place the cork in a jar.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you do some aluminum foil first.
Yeah, I take the aluminum foil, and I just extend it the size that would accommodate a jar to slip over it, like a mason jar. And I do that so that no air can come in, so nobody's saying that it's air moving it or the wind or anything like that.
And then you balance the aluminum foil on the tip of the...
top of that needle, and you take your time to balance on there really good. And then slowly put that jar over that. And then with my hands, and I focus on that needle, and I bring my hands close to the jar, and I just move them, and it takes some time. It doesn't happen right away. You just move it, and you concentrate. And then what you're going to see is the energy from your hands. You're going to see that the foil start to move. And then when you make that connection, that you're actually doing it in your hand. You're going forward and backward, and you know, get it going. Then you're able to just quick make little jerking movements with your hands until it'll start to spin. And then you just spin it, and you spin it.
Like a helicopter, and your grandchildren laugh. They love it, huh?
Oh. And I got a kick out of it, too, the first couple times.
I know. Just like moving stars. You know, a lot of people, why do you keep doing it over and over? You never get tired. Zakir, you're right.
And the fact that you know there's something inside of you greater than you making this happen.
He was within you is greater than he was in the world. Right.
Yes.
You know, y'all pull up at night from the store and you want to go in, but if you see a star in the sky, you can't help it. You're going to move it. You can't help it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure.
You got to do it. Yeah.
10:30.
But it's a wonderful day. Go ahead.
10:29.
Okay. Everybody needs to go outside, please, wherever you are, and it's not wintertime, so you can do it. And I need you to tell me that you can see at least one star, but I need somebody to be able to see a lot of stars, like the universe, because I decided to move the whole universe, the whole creation for you all tonight, seen and unseen. The whole existence. Every star, like your sun, has planets. So I'll be moving your sun and your earth, meaning I'll be moving all of us too. Let me hear the first person and tell me they see us some stars. Please. First person, please tell me you see stars or moon.
I saw the moon earlier, but I'm not out there yet. I'm on my way now.
I love you. Don't you all get tired and bored with this. If you get tired of watching somebody move the stars or doing it yourself, there's something wrong. You can see the moon in Texas. Okay. All right. Is it full or just a part?
No, it's just a part.
It's a new moon.
A quarter.
Okay. All right.
No, yeah.
Well, I'm going to make them. You see it, too? You wait a minute. Wait a minute, Zakir. You see it, too?
I saw it earlier.
No. I mean, okay. So, Farasi, you see it in Texas. All right. Describe to people what you see. Move to the right in the name of the Messiah, Amun-Re.
Okay, it's moving to the right. It's like a time lapse that I'm seeing.
Yeah. Now come up and over and move to the left in the name of the Messiah.
And now it's moving back to the left.
Now down and under and move back to the right. Stop.
Moving to the right.
Now raise up in the name of the Master of the heavens and the earth. Go up, moon.
And it's going up.
I hear the brother back there. You see it too, huh? Now drop down like an elevator in the name of the Messiah.
And it's going down.
Now, I'm going to put it in a circle. Do you want it clockwise or counterclockwise? Counterclockwise takes you to the past. Clockwise takes you into the future.
To the future.
Clockwise. Now, brother, where are you at? You can see it, too. What state are you in? The brother that said, mm-hmm. Can you see anything?
No. That wasn't meant for that.
Oh, I see. Okay, but who else can see? Because I want the next person. All right, I'm going to move it in a circle, clockwise. Om okay, where are you at?
I'm in Rhode Island. I just get out here. It's the only star I do see. Yep.
Yeah. Om
It's
beautiful. All right. I love you all. Now, next person. Katie Ray, what do you see in New York? Please tell me you see something.
No, I don't see anything. It rained a little while ago, and the clouds are still clearing up.
Okay. All right. I'm glad to hear you back. You don't see anything. You in Jersey, though, right?
I go to Jersey when I do shopping.
Oh, I see. Katie Ray, what do you see in Brooklyn? Katie Ray Hotep. She was here. All right. Any other state?
See stars.
Where do you see stars?
In D.C.
What state are you in? Okay, very good. You see stars, plural. So what if I move the whole universe? Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to swing the universe real slowly to the left in the name of Amun Ray. And then up and over and swing it back to the right.
Yeah.
I love you.
And move
up and over.
Yeah, yeah.
And back to the right.
Oh, yeah.
Now stop.
Beautiful.
I'm going to drop the whole creation down. Drop down.
Down.
Now, in the name of the Messiah, raise up heavens.
And up.
Raise up. Yeah.
Yeah, going on.
All right. Now, you have to realize I moved the sun and the earth, but you couldn't feel it. A lot of people ask me, don't you think when you're moving stars and suns, you're upsetting people? You can't feel it, can you? And you don't have to worry. Everything's going to go back to its natural order. So I'm not doing nothing wrong. If I wasn't supposed to be able to do it, I wouldn't be able to do it, okay?
Exactly.
And neither would you, see? But it's only by permission that you can only move the creation by whose permission?
The creator.
That's right. That's right.
Creator of all.
That's right. So there's no question about who I am. And if you're here with me, there's no question about who you are. But there are those that witness it and turn away and go back, return like a dog to his own vomit, to the lies. Outdated, nostalgic memories of Elijah Muhammad walking across the street with dirty ties and Bilal speaks, in love with the man instead of the one that sent him. Got it?
Sure.
Sad. Left well, back in the time. Yeah, they left in a land of time. Forgot. Well, who bad? All right. Anybody else see something outside they like to have moved?
I see a bunch of stars, too, but you already moved them.
Okay. All right.
Powerful brother.
I love you, and I want to say that you've shown a sign of growth. Remember I told you all, in order to make the movable throne of Markaba, it's like your consciousness has to raise up on one side, kind of like a light sword. But your goodness also, you know, has to raise up equally. And when they get up like 3 feet over your head or so, they'll arc toward the middle in a point. The goodness and the consciousness won't touch, but they'll get close enough to generate a spark between them. That is the Merkaba, the movable throne. And you are learning to conquer your lower self. But I knew it when you went through the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're overcoming your carnal lower self. You're defeating the devil. Right.
And
all right.
Now when you look to look for me.
Yes.
I saw a light flash out the corner of my right eye.
That's the real you trying to come out of the body. Move to the right in the name of the Messiah. Now up and over, moon, and move to the left. Now down and under, and move back to the right. Stop. Raise up in the name of the Messiah. Now drop down. Now, which way do you want your circle to go? Farasa, which way do you want your circle to go?
Clockwise.
All right. Saw that?
Yes, it's beautiful.
I love it. It's like me. I'm the same way. Like, you want to get back to going through that wall again so bad you don't know what to do. I know.
Exactly.
But, just like John, because we can't get enough of it. You know, because that's freedom.
Exactly.
See, Zakia, you want to come out that body in a blue light again, don't you?
Sure do.
I know. That's a freedom and a majesty that you just can't get out of a hot dog or some sex or some money on earth. You know what I mean?
I
you just can't. Yeah, it's that's the greatest joy.
But the thing of it is, I see my blue light aura every night.
Yes, that is good. Because how is the greatest joy? Because the body's an illusion. All pleasure comes from that place. See? That's true joy. All right. Who has that next question? And you know we need testimonies from everybody. Really, we do tonight. And we need people to post up things everywhere and everybody to record the classes, every class. We need you all to get involved and start propagating this truth, because until I get the 140, we get the 144,000, I can't pick you all up, okay? So every donation is a jewel, it's a sword, a weapon, a bullet, a bomb in the war. And besides, it put the burden on a few of us while we're all learning, is it?
No, sir. No, sir. I got a question.
I'll do my best.
I had a dream. Like you said, it'd be so real. It was like triple 3D. But it was funny because, like it was just a regular, you know, life I was watching. I was watching me have a regular life. And I want to say, man, it just started raining pigs or something, man. And this thing like that just got so real. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I woke up coughing about it. My girl thought I was crazy.
Right.
You wasn't crazy. You was in a reality where it was raining pigs, but you created it. That's symbolic language coming from your oversoul to try to communicate something in symbol. We call dreams symbol language to you. They're talking about probably the fallen angels came down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're driven by greed and things like that.
Right.
Fuck everything and everybody. Greed. I got to get mine. They're not going to donate. They don't care nothing. I got to have mine. Greed. Feed the pig. Got it?
Right.
Me.
Exactly. Yeah, I get it.
Ain't no us in them, right?
Right.
The individual monkeys at war with the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Worried about self-image.
Only. They'll never pick the fleas. They'll be left behind until they realize that they have to do unto their brother and sisters they would unto themselves, because they are their brother and sister. But as long as they think that's the brothers and sisters and this is me, they ain't going to make it.
Right.
Because if they're not one with all, they're not. Got it?
Good.
Yeah. Because greed is a negative attribute of the devil, like evil. It can't exist in divine love. So there is no more space found for them in heaven. They're kicking themselves out the book of life, out of paradise. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's born with their name in the book of life, but the majority of clowns, Noah, are striking their own name out, drawing a red line through it. Being ignorant. They just won't learn. They won't grow. They're stuck in their own ways. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Next question. I love y'all. I really do. I'll lay down everything for you, and I mean that, everything. I'll go to war with Satan himself for y'all. Okay, next question. In fact, I have. Again. You all full already? An hour? All
right.
Well, what's your question?
Okay. Does somebody have a question?
I don't know. I'm waiting.
Okay, so, well, I'll just go ahead here, and they can interrupt if they want. So when we're talking about...
A little louder, John, please. Please, louder. Yeah, please. Could you speak louder, John?
Yep, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, better, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better? We're talking about the dimensional shift, and... Everything
like we said, is in the same place at the same time, vibrating at different frequencies. But it's not just at different frequencies. Is it also in different motion, vibrating in different motions and directions?
That's the same thing. And,
right. So in each dimension,
frequency, vibration creates the illusion of movement.
Right. Okay.
Because you got to remember, all doesn't vibrate. Only sets things mentally into vibratory motion. By that I mean,
okay.
Again, if you're in a living room and it's 72 degrees or 70 degrees and you're comfortable, and then you start remembering somebody that did you something real bad or negative or evil, you see how you start getting hot? You know what I mean, John? The more you think about how they fucking with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty soon your heart rate's speeding up. Your breathing gets a little heavier, a little perspiration, and your actual temperature is hot, is higher. Well, heat is a form of energy. So you're shifting to another conscious level by thoughts. Thoughts put things into vibratory motion. That's what all does. It doesn't vibrate. It only sets things into vibratory motion by thought.
And for me to control that, all I have to do is...
Mind your mind for the jewels of your soul.
Yes. Focus and think about...
good, positive, uplifting things, always.
Yes.
And every time you find yourself thinking about something negative, which will creep in, you have to learn how to create gold bricks. By that I mean, we've all had pleasant experiences in our life, regardless how rough it was. So remember that birthday you had, or that picnic, that family gathering, or that first kiss from the girl you really loved, or that favorite song, or the day you walked outside and the weather was perfect, the way the wind blew it, and the way you could smell the burning leaves, or that gas at the gas station, how it smelled, or the grass, how it smelled when it was cut, or that beautiful bird you saw. Remember how good those things made you feel?
Yes.
Keep all those memories, and every time you have a negative thought, since the mind can't think of but one thing at a time, replace the negative thought with a positive memory. And make the positive memory be in the shape of a gold brick. Lay it down, and every time you have a negative thought, get another positive memory or the same one, and lay that gold brick down till you start building a wall inside your mind of gold bricks. And with your imagination, build it so high and wide till all the negativity is blocked out on the other side of the wall. And it's nothing but gold bricks and positive good feelings on this side with you. Now, call it mental trickery, whatever you want, but it'll work, okay?
And it does work because I've tried it.
Yes, it
over works. And over again.
Yes, it works.
It works very well.
That's right. Replace that negative thought with a positive one, and the hell stops right away.
It do, immediately. I call it gold bricking.
Some people just let it eat it just, and it was eating her or was eating him, you see? And it'll get make you give you cancer, it'll give you ulcers, it'll eat you up. Until you get on top of a thing with a rifle and start shooting people.
Mm.
You understand? It'll consume
mm-hmm.
you. Like a fire. You'll be in hell. Inside your own mind, in hell.
The male universe.
Yes. Yes. So when you close your eyes right now, everybody do it, that blackness you see right there, that is the multiverses. or the void, the vast extent. That blackness is what you call the universe, because I am in all and all is in me. So in there, that's the canvas upon which you create your images. You can see your mother in there, the front of your house, your car is in there, the sun is in there, even at night. There's nothing that you can't see because it's all in there. In fact, you can see things in there that you never saw before in your memory in this reality. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like pigs. Like pigs falling from the sky. Yeah. It's all in there. I am an all in what?
All in me.
So it's all in there. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is where?
Within man.
Within you. And it also said God is in heaven, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
So if God is in heaven and heaven is in you, then where is God?
In me.
In me.
That's correct. That's why I was sent here, to remind you of what you forgot, to wake you up to knowledge you previously had. That's why it's called RE dash, the reawakening of the elite few.
Reawakening.
Mean that you were awake before, but you fell. You fell asleep under a spell. And that's
when you
what,
said you were going to read
what,
something?
Yeah, I decided not to. I love you, though.
Okay.
But that fall is the fall of man.
It.
Yeah, that fall is the fall of man. And that's what put you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put together a package for Rod Freeman, and I didn't call his name. Oh, that's Seabrook, Texas. That is a Rod Freeman. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I hope y'all got something out of this tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody? I hope so. If you apply it,
yes.
You know, if you apply it, believe me, it'll help you. And I really love you all. And it's not that hard to understand because, see, I know that you're me. And I know I'm you. You see what you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I say I love you, I mean it.
Yeah.
I want y'all to have everything I have. You know, I want y'all to power, immortality. I want y'all to know what I know. You hear what I mean? Go where I go. I want that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm working for. And bless the souls of everybody that's helping me to help all of us. Don't forget the testimonies. And get recorders on your phone. Propagate this news everywhere. I'm your Messiah and your brother.
Yeah.
I'm Ray. One love.
One love. I do.